in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 678. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am rejoined finally by my amazing co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
We like to call her the Alaskan King Crab.
I am.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
There's a song that fills the air.
It is Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. On the show today, we have the Scottish Rite Theatre in their production of Sunflower, starring Guy Forsythe. And then later on in the show, the Vortex folks are going to be here with their summer youth theatre in the show, Mr. Burns. And there's actually a lot more to that title that I'll just let you wait until we introduce them. And of course, Nicole and I are going to have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, St. Louis, and Point West. Stick with us. There's nowhere left to fly.
That music is just so fantastical.
It really is. Paradise Square.
Yes,
That is amazing. We're going to talk about Paradise Square in a second.
I hope you do. You have your sound. Your sound.
Dun, dun. No, I did. I almost brought it. But first of all, I want to welcome you back. You were missed.
Ah, thank you.
You haven't been here for almost a month.
I know. I was in the Jersey and then got an awful sinus infection.
Yeah. Well, that was my sorority name in college. So I want to thank our replacement co-hosts, Matrix Kilgore and Karen Jambone. They did such a great job.
I love stand-in co-hosts Matrix Kilgore and Karen Jambone. Thank you both.
Wow, see. Okay. I also want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar.
Yes, I was rocking out in here. Kim always makes me smile, and his selections always make me smile.
Yeah, me too. And so that's now, before we start talking about stuff, we have a big group here today.
We do.
We're gonna break some post-COVID guest records today.
Dun dun so dun dun exciting. Dun.
So let me introduce another the sound folks effect that are for here. That too. Deanna, you ready to see if I can get your name right? Here goes. It's Deanna Ballardinelli. Ballardinelli.
Almost Ballardinelli.
You know what? I should have just read the typed version instead of my
phonetic spelling.
Phonetic spelling. It didn't work. We have Lucky Cantu. Hi, Lucky.
Hi.
We have Guy Forsythe. Welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Great to be back here at Co-op.
We love having you here. We also have Pramila Mystery.
Yes, you got it.
And Laura Gooley.
Hey there.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
Awesome. I'm going to ask you guys, since I engineer my own show, and I have to just, if I have corrections to make, I just do them. So when you talk, I need you to be right into the microphone. So that's the story. You have been schooled. So our first thing that we want to talk about is Paradise Square, which just closed last week. Are y'all familiar with Paradise Square?
Yes, I watched the Tonys, so I got to see performance.
Oh, you got to see that, which I wasn't crazy about that performance, but she did, and I can't remember her name. Do you remember her name?
I do not.
Yeah, it's an African name, and my mind will not memorize it, so, and it's not written down. But she did win the Tony for that, and it tells the story of, and we've talked about it on the show, about a group of African-American people and Irish people who always got along until the Civil War. And then the Civil War, the Irish went to fight, but the black people weren't allowed to, and that caused
friction.
Friction. So they closed, first of all, because the receipts weren't there. They had a couple of weeks, or I think at least 1 week of COVID closures.
They did. They had a lot of stuff.
And then that's money you can't get back. That's just money gone. But boy, they have, I don't have the sound effect, but it goes a little something like this. Dun dun.
Dun dun. Yeah, there was, they had some shady producer.
Yeah, that would be Garth Dabrinsky.
Yes, who is now on the Equity blacklist once the show closed.
He is on, yes, he's on the do not
work,
hire.
Do not hire, do not work with list.
Do not work with list. He's currently facing legal action by both Equity and the Scenic Artist Local 829.
And he just recently got out of jail for doing some other bad stuff, and now he was just back to producing with this. So yep, that didn't really go well for
him. This was supposed to bring him back.
Not so much.
But all these troubles started as far back as their pre-Broadway run at Berkeley in 2019.
Yeah, I know. And then it just kept snowballing. And I think when people started not getting paid and they announced the closing date, then more of everything came to light that there was this saga going on since the inception, which is just so awful.
There was so much about this that just it's kind of like a perfect storm. Is anybody else familiar with this story at all?
Not at all.
No. Okay. So we're teaching folks.
But hard-hitting news here, Lisa.
Evidently had a toxic workplace from the very, very beginning. And he was, in theory, cutting corners to the point of being unsafe. The production stage manager who resigned, I'm going to read a quote from her.
We call that shwarmy.
It was shwarmy. So the former production stage manager, her name is Karen Meek, she said, the show was never correctly budgeted. In my opinion, Garth felt by cutting back on labor, he could do the show more cheaply. But all that did was put more pressure on everyone else to make up for his failings. In my opinion, we had to do things in a speed and a manner that were not healthy or safe.
No. And I think when all the accusations came out, wasn't it about $350,000 worth of wages that were still owed when everything started finally coming to light? Like the box was opened and surprise, there was a lot more than just that.
Right. Yeah. Although that's not exactly accurate because the what was included in that number were the actors' wages, which are all secured by a bond.
Got it.
So, but that will happen. And the producers are saying, Dabrinsky said, well, the only reason why they're not getting money is because of cash flow issues, not because we don't have it.
Yeah.
But he was, as you mentioned, he was convicted of fraud and forgery in 2009. He was released in prison in 2014. And a lot of the people that said that they would be willing to work with him again had a sort of an ill-fated logic, if you ask me. They said, well, he had all these problems before. When he comes back, he's going to do everything to avoid those problems in the future. And evidently he didn't.
Yeah, it didn't seem that way, did it? But you know, the first flag that came up, the first red flag that I would see, I would have been like, I think it is time to abandon ship and figure out a different solution.
Except, comma, I mean, there's, you know, you had all these people working on the show that believed in the project and believed in the property and believed in the show itself. And it's just, and they just wanted to make it
which
work.
Gives even more credence to finding someone that's proper that's not going to take such a project down. I mean, I don't know.
Well, exactly. But once it was there, the cast and creatives did everything they could do to make it work because they wanted to. And said so in theory, or they say he had a hair trigger temper. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like Scott Rudin to you?
You know.
One of the actors said, when something doesn't go Garth's way, he throws a tantrum. That sounds like me.
He doesn't sound like a very exciting man to hang out with.
Yeah. Anyway, I do want to tell people we're going to have to be very brief because we've got so much to talk about and so very little time to talk about it. But there's a video of so that piece of music we heard coming in was from a video for their cast album. They have done a cast album.
Correct.
And they did a video of the title song, which is Paradise Square. And it's just beautiful. And
I'm so thankful they were able to do a cast album and put this together. It's really, there's just some really spectacular performances and music in it.
So at offstageonair.com, there's a link to that video. Or you could just go to the YouTubes and search Paradise Square. Whatever you want to do. I'm fine with that. There's no pressure here.
There is no pressure here. You have choices.
There is so much I wanted to talk about. This was from last week. Did you see this Notre Dame de Paris? Are anybody familiar with Notre Dame de Paris? It's a show.
I auditioned for a version of that was being done in
in Vegas.
Okay.
Although I didn't actually get the part, but I think
I would have given it to you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I should have been directing it.
I should retroactively do that. But
we could do that.
It ended up closing that just a couple months after I came in to do the audition, so it was ill-fated anyway. But that was a really fun show.
Well, and it's interesting. It's been around for a long time. I believe it 2009. And it's got a very interesting past. And it's known, it seems to be known everywhere but here.
That happens.
And it's going to come, exactly. But it's, and it escaped my notice as well. Did you sing any of the songs from it, Guy?
I did for the audition. I was auditioning for the part of the Hunchback. It was the the fun part. It was a beautiful production.
We like to call him Quasimodo.
Yes.
Which was, surprisingly enough, also my
sorority name in college. I know.
So this is just totally sung through. It's premiering at the David H. Koch or Koch Theater at Lincoln Center this coming... oh, no. Darn, closes in 2 days.
I was like, doesn't it close soon or something? Yeah, I think that's what I saw.
I've been meaning to talk about this for a couple of weeks, and I keep forgetting. But it looks beautiful. But one of the things I thought was interesting, and when he started this, he took Andrew Lloyd Webber's theory of doing things and did an album first, like he did with Jesus Christ Superstar and Joseph, and let the album and find a hit from that album to lead into the show opening.
It's kind of smart.
It's kind of smart.
Especially when the piece is pure music, that's kind of smart when it's an operetta like that.
It has been translated into 8 languages, performed in 23 countries. Oddly enough, the producers prefer the French. Mais oui. In New York, it's going to be done in French with English supers.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty cool. And it looks really, really pretty.
It does look pretty. I saw the pictures. I was like, this looks pretty. I do like good eye candy production photography.
Me too. And one of the things the producer said, or the writer, I think it's the writer, said, and I quote, "Sometimes we wonder if the show has become outdated. But the themes are evergreen, and the music was intentionally arranged to sound timeless. So we keep postponing making changes. So far, audiences haven't complained, and the show is doing well, so we're staying the course."
Keep making changes. So is it always different every time you see it?
No, they don't make changes. I thought you said they did. Audiences say they like it just the way it is.
So there you go.
If it's broke, don't fix it. Let's look at the time on the clock. All right, we have to go to our last thing. You can go to offstageonair.com to see links to the things that we would have talked about.
I don't know where you're going with these.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Mr. Saturday Night.
Oh, I'm so sad about this.
Mr. Saturday Night post early closing. It's going to be closing on September 4th, so we all have time to go see it.
I've already
seen the movie.
Anybody? But it's been a very long time ago. Anybody? I guess I raised my hand and was vocal.
Right. But I'm going to tell our guests here that shakings of the head and raising of the hands do not work on radio. So no, neither have I, and I really wanted to. So this is based on the film that Billy Crystal did, and he's in it. And we've talked about this on the show before. I won't go into it, but
Shoshana Bean is in it, too.
Shoshana Bean is in it, and it makes more sense now because the character that Billy Crystal played
was older.
Back when it was, I guess, 20 years ago when it came out, was the age that Billy Crystal is now.
Correct.
So it actually works out. That's really all I want to say. And I know that it breaks your heart.
It breaks my heart. It's one of those musicals that I was like, why? Why are they making this movie into a musical? It doesn't need to be done. And then afterwards, seeing it, getting it, doing it, I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. And I eat my words on why I said, why? Why must you go
there?
You
know
what?
If you eat your words, you'll save a lot of money on your groceries.
I know. That's what I've been working on. So.
All right. So this is the second week in the row that we've played Mr. Saturday Night. I played it just for you because I know you liked it.
It makes me happy.
So we're going to play... this is called A Little Joy.
I was about to say, it brings me a little joy.
There it is.
I gotta bring a little joy.
We'll be right back.
Sharing the gift of laughter, you'll live happily ever after, so that even when life gets tough.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa.
And Nicole.
And a whole bunch of other people.
And lots of people today.
That I'm going to take.
Hello, Austin.
Hello.
They're really here. It's not just our imagination.
We're going to take the time to reintroduce everybody. This is the group from the Scottish Rite Theater and the show Sunflower, the Story of Amelie and Vincent. And we have the artistic director of the Scottish Rite and the director of this piece, Diana Bellardinelli.
You did it!
Yay! Because you know what? I didn't think about it. We have one of the performers, Lucky Cantu.
Hello.
And another performer and well-known artist here in Austin and around the world, Guy Forsythe.
Thanks for having us.
And then we also have Laura Gooley. Hi, Laura.
Hi there.
She is the writer of this piece. And Premila Mystery.
Hello, everybody.
And you wrote the music.
I did.
And the music.
Yes.
Both of those things.
The music and the music.
The music and the music. Well, welcome. Laura, tell us about the show. What is it?
All right. So, hey there, and thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Okay, thanks for being on the show.
So, Sunflower is a musical about a little girl who is in the sixth grade and is lonely and bullied. And magically travels through a Van Gogh painting, Cafe Terrace at Night, and meets the artist. And without giving any spoilers, she learns to believe in herself through this experience. But overall, it's a very positive show for older kids and families that addresses the issues of school bullying and child depression in a really fun and dynamic and original way.
Yeah, and I, you know, I have to say it's so important on so many different levels right now.
Yes, indeedy, Lisa.
Thank you.
Indeedy,
I did my homework. Mm-hmm. Lucky, you play the little girl, I'm guessing.
Yes, I do play Amelie.
Is it any relation to the movie Amelie?
Unfortunately, no. Although they are both very quirky and cool.
And the musical.
That was a very, very nice response there, Lucky.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything less. So tell us about Amelie. Tell us about the character.
Well, I originated the role back when I was 11 years old, so I did the original cast album, and then now
I've seen you on video then.
So I'm getting to reprise the role, which is honestly a dream come true. It's a very challenging role. Amelie is very intense emotionally, but she's also an 11-year-old, so she is fun and happy. But that's also what makes it so sad when she's not.
Oh. Well, and true. Absolutely true. And Guy, I'm going to guess you're playing Vincent. Is that true?
That is true.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's a dream come true for me as well, because Vincent van Gogh has been a hero for me. I remember reading his letters in the early 90s.
Letters to his brother.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. Because he had about 700 letters that he wrote in between the correspondence between him and his brother Theo, which give an insight to the psychological makeup of one of the most important artists of the history of art that we don't usually have, and it's incredibly rich and varied, and it speaks to me. I think it speaks to most people that take the time to read.
I will say this isn't directly involved in the show, but apropos of what we were just saying, there was a exhibit going around the country, Van Gogh and Gauguin together, and if you listen to the ear things as I did, you learn so much about their relationship, and it's so fascinating when you really sort of get into the inner workings of an artist in any art form.
There's another tour that's actually around the country right now to the immersive Van Gogh experience, which is in multiple cities.
Yes, we've seen.
Which is it's really fascinating.
Back to this show. So talk about the relationship between these two. And Diana, I want you to do that for me, if you would mind. Talk about the relationship between the two characters.
Well, Amelie and Vincent are this fun dynamic duo, essentially. He kind of represents the part of herself that focuses on her artistic and free spirit that she feels very closed off for him and unable to perform in school because no one really understands her. Mm-hmm. So when she's in this world with Vincent, she gets to kind of be herself, and he shows her that that's okay, but also kind of shows her that even when it's hard, you got to push forward. Yeah. And it's just a really fun relationship that you don't really get to see very often. And these two together are just delightful.
Right. And if I were to look at it visually, I would assume that there might be a sort of a father-daughter kind of feel.
Yes. Yeah. And there's also a fun little quirk that Laura has written into the show.
An FLQ.
That. and how it is basically in the world where the children are, there are no adults. And so in the world of this fantasy, she now has a supportive adult figure in her life that she doesn't have in her real life. So it kind of gives her security.
I have to say that Guy and Lucky both embody these characters beyond anything I think I could have imagined. And I am so thrilled that they are in the cast and they've brought them to brought the characters to life.
Well, that's great. I actually think that they need to go on the road as some sort of act themselves, because Guy and Lucky, what a great sounding pair.
Top Touché. Hats and canes.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. We've already choreographed our tap routine. We're
excellent.
Ready to
go. Well, you're standing on, yeah, there they go. Just the video is playing. So this is a musical. And Pramila, you did the music. So tell us about the music in this piece.
Yeah, the music is been a project of over 20 years that Laura and I have been working on, and comes from a variety of influences. I was a classically trained pianist as a kid, and have used my training in that skill in my ORF pedagogy through being a music teacher, through the inspiration of other musician friends and the music education world, as well as musical theater that I listen to. And so I think the music really reflects all these different styles. I've had a lot of fun to put it together and put the orchestrations together. I've been coming to Austin for many years to work with Laura in the studio and orchestrate all of the pieces. And it's so incredibly exciting to see it all come to life now. And this cast is incredible. And knowing Lucky and Guy, who have done the recording for us as the years have come on to get the show going, they have done an incredible, beautiful job in making the recording for this piece, this musical.
Oh, go ahead.
I have to say that like you said with the other production earlier, the music is timeless. I would have to say it's a timeless musical theater. Well, how else would you classify it, Prem?
It's hard to get pinpoint an exact genre to categorize the music. But as I say, I use my classical influence. There's a little bit of a little Latin feel to it in places. There's
would you say the music was mysterious?
Well,
is anybody with me?
Maybe you should hear some and find out for yourself.
Perhaps. Diana, oh my God, I had a wonderful question that totally went through my head. But tell us, you are not only the director of this piece, and I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, how you're approaching this as a director, but also you're the artistic director of the Scottish Rite Theatre. Why this piece? Why right now?
Yeah, actually, Laura approached me last summer, I think, is when I received the email from Laura and Prem with the music and with the script. And I just remember reading it and just falling in love. Mm-hmm. It had been a really tough couple of years for all
so
of us.
So I hear.
And most of all, for when you work in a primarily a children's theater, you get to see kids a lot, and not getting to see them kind of was hard. And then seeing how they're dealing with the last couple of years has been difficult too. So that's kind of why I felt like it was really important right now to present this show, to give something to this age group that really doesn't have a lot of media for them. There really aren't shows for middle school age children. It's elementary, and then as soon as you're in high school, you're doing adult plays.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't have anything for your age that you get to see yourself on stage.
And middle school is such a pivotal point.
I was about to say, it's pivotal. You took my words there, Lisa.
So sorry. But I mean, you know, in middle school, when you come in at ninth grade, you leave as a, like an, almost a totally different person by 11th grade. So it's a lot of changes going on in those 3 years.
Middle school, yeah. Ninth and 11th.
Sixth and ninth.
Whatever. It's been a while since I've been in school.
Still changes.
Don't even go there with me.
I've got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. Couple of years, that's been exactly what we've been working on. Mm-hmm. And the issues that this musical deals with are dead center the things that the kids that I know are going through. It's important and hard. Yep. You know, like these kids are in many ways adrift in our society. And I think that if we don't address their inner lives, their spiritual lives, in a way that isn't just cookie cutter, you know, like certainly better than what we're doing, then they're left on their own to fend for themselves.
Very well said.
When I was making the recording in Washington, D.C., I had a group of middle school students who were singing the youth chorus background. And every song that they sang, they would say that these words speak to me. Oh, my gosh, I feel that. I get it. This means something to me. And it was such a joy to see them and hear them sing with passion and know that the words of this song really spoke to what was happening in their lives and really was for them.
Laura, it looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to jump in on that. In my other job, life, hat, I'm actually a licensed psychologist and I work with kids and adolescents. Right. So much of the script and lyrics came from my own experience over the last 15 years working with these kids. And, you know, I think a big part of it is dedicated to them.
Yeah. Well, that is great and wonderful. One final question about the show itself. Live orchestra?
Yes. We have a fantastic group of musicians.
Five pieces. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
And I want to just go off base for just a little in our last like couple of minutes. Lucky, you and I were talking a little bit before we went on the air. What grade are you in right now between?
I'm going into 10th grade.
You're a rising sophomore.
That's true.
I know the lingo. and you want to pursue theater as perhaps a career.
Yes, my goal is ultimately Broadway, so I'm going to keep working hard to get there.
Awesome. And then I will share with the audience that my advice I give everybody, you remember what I suggested to you?
Be a triple threat.
Absolutely, coming from someone who wasn't. Awesome. Triple threat means act, sing, dance excellently.
Do it all!
And my final question, again, off the subject. Guy, you're known to co-op listeners mainly as a musician. Mm-hmm. And then I know you were doing this because it was in the press release. but then you just revealed that you had also auditioned for other stuff. So are you? Have you done other acting before?
Yeah, I haven't done as much acting because being a full-time musician has kept me busy and on the road. But I did True West in this town. This is the second time that mm-hmm. I've played a painter character in an original script done in Austin. I was in a play called The Ape Man of Manhattan. And I love theater. I love performing. When I was younger, I thought I was going to be an actor, but I realized that as a songwriter, I could write, direct, and star in my own productions, and I didn't have to wait.
and you weren't beholden to no one. So, Deanna, tell me when the show opens, when it closes, and where folks can go to get more information.
So the show opens this Friday, Friday, July 22nd at 7 o'clock. It will run Fridays through Sundays all the way through August 14th. And on our Sundays, we have 2 p.m. matinee shows. And you're welcome to check out our website. We've got links and more information.
What is that website?
ScottishRiteTheater.org.
Okay, and theater is spelled with an E-R.
Yes.
Not the correct way.
Having to choose the name.
Thank you all for joining us
on
Austin
Zia. Thank you so
much. We had so much fun.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
And best of luck with the show.
Thank you.
Here we go, pronouncing names again. That was Guy Forsythe, Lucky Cantu, Deanna Bernardinelli. Come on. Doggett, say
almost. Ballardinelli.
My God. Laura Gooley in Primal Mystery, always Scottish Rite Theater's production of Sunflower, the story of Amelie and Vincent, playing July 22nd through August 14th. For more information, go to scottishritetheater.org. And this is a little piece of music from this show that was shared with me about 5 years ago. So give a listen and we'll be right back.
There's a lot to learn at school, math and English, not so fun. But the most important rule is never be the different one. Comb your hair like other kids, hang around the crowd, that's cool. The most important.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Woohoo! It's us, and we're back together.
That was a fun group.
That was fun.
We had a good time. And I worked so hard on that name, and I could never get it right.
It's because you were in your head, thinking about it too much.
I was in my head.
You were in your head.
So that song was a song called Fitting In, and in true transparency, I should tell folks that that Laura had come to Ground Floor Theater long before the, or not long before, a few years before the... what's that? What's going on right now?
The pandemic.
And was talking to us about doing it along with the Paramount School. It just never happened. And it does. It reads really well. And you saw the music. And
it's very, very exciting.
Okay. All right. Let's real quick like talk about some of the local stuff that's going on.
And there is bring stuff the happening. Vortex
in. There's lots of stuff happening.
Yes, indeed.
As we talked about last week. So last week, I was very excited to tell y'all about Hyde Park. And their fundraiser that was the history of Hyde Park.
I know.
There's basically just Ken Webster, you know, jibber jabbering about Hyde Park.
I love it.
And I ran into Ken like the next day and he said, postponed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Time unknown. So check back to HydeParkTheater.org.
I was just about to say, probably find more info or keep looking at the HydeParkTheater.org.
You said it. And that show, by the way, is called I Love HTP.
Good name.
Because it's Hyde Park.
It's to the point. Yep.
It is. Yeah, you can't miss it.
Can't disagree.
We talked about this last week, but I'll just remind folks that, what's the date? 20th. Friday and Saturday is a reading of The Realistic Joneses by the Alchemy Theater.
Yes.
At the Maestro George Theater.
You like saying dun, the dun, name dun, of dun. That. Sounds so regal.
Maestro George.
Yes.
So that's it. And then also, I want to talk about the Cold Frame Collective, which is doing a production by Billy Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
Who's that Billy Shakespeare?
Who is that?
Who is that?
He's Billy Shakespeare.
Hmm.
Much Ado About Nothing, which, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen.
For real?
You know,
But you know a lot of Shakespeare. You recite a lot of Shakespeare.
I do.
And you really haven't seen this particular piece. I am surprised by that.
And I'm going to try to pull
up... You surprise me every day.
I do. Actually, I don't know if I have it in my my notes. Oh, there, I do have it in my notes.
Look at you, all efficient.
I miss having actual paper. It made it much easier. Anyway, it's it happens July 21st through 30th over at Center Stage Texas, which is where Arts on Real used to be.
Correct.
And where is now
other stuff.
Kids Acting.
Yes, yes.
And this is directed by Caroline Bobbitt. And it's outdoors.
There you go.
So bring a coat. Could be chilly.
Right.
Could be chilly. No, nobody. Okay. We're going for last and it's not working.
It's not. Yeah, it's very silent in here.
So that's just interesting. That's something I thought I'd say is one of the few local things that we have not talked about on this show. But I want to remind folks that you have Jarrett Productions and their radio play Pet Dick, which was a guest on our show. And I was able to hear the first one. The second one is out.
Oh.
The third one comes out tomorrow. I have not heard the second one yet. My apologies to Jarrett Productions. And it's
I love that it's a little series like this. It makes me happy.
I know, and it's fun, and it's we were just talking about noir last night, and it's very noir-y.
I was just about to say it's very noir.
Pet detective kind of way. Tales of Blurred Ballerina is in their last week over at the Vortex, and I was able to see it last weekend. And I also saw, Trey Deason is here. I'm going to introduce the folks that are sitting here with us so we can let them talk if they want to. Trey Deason, hi. Oh, wait, you know what's going to be better?
Lisa, turning on your mic.
Turn on your microphone.
Be magical.
Say that again.
Oh.
Hello there.
Okay. There's your voice.
And Nicole.
Hello.
There it is. And I don't know any of the other people, so I'm gonna let you introduce yourself. So I have Sharky. Yay. Sharky Meehan. Mm-hmm. Kate Meehan.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. You and I have met a couple of times, actually. Yeah. Haley Perez.
Yes.
Okay, Juno? Nope. Fred? Come on in, Fred. Fred
hello,
Demps.
Hello.
You're the ASM.
Yes, I am.
Right up into the microphone.
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Well, I was really thrilled to see that you were on because my background is stage management. So so good. So you've seen Blurred Ballerina, I'm guessing,
oh,
Trey.
Yes.
So
I
what
see
you
the
think?
Workshop, and I saw the
well,
recently last
me
weekend.
As well. You can move the microphones by this right here.
Oh.
I tell our audience that because I engineer my own show, I give directions.
We like to show how the sausage is made here on offstage and on the air.
And that being said, is that one of your group out in the lobby? No. Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. It's not you. So yeah, I also saw the workshop and the show. So tell us your thoughts.
I mean, I was like, dear friend of Val's, and
I like her. Okay, Balanicia Tolbert, who, as our listeners know, is moving to Atlanta.
Sad.
She'll be back. She'll like back and forth.
She'll be back.
She'll come
there.
Do some stuff here. Still.
I bet so.
I hope so. Yes, I'll put it out there with you, Trey.
Exactly.
Stick it in the universe.
But yeah, it was a really special show. And
I just think as I emailed her afterwards, I'm one of those people that as soon as the curtain goes, I leave. I rarely ever stay after a show. I'm terrible about that.
It's better than being one act Danny.
But I emailed her and said that the changes between the workshop and this show were just spot on.
Well, apparently, I don't remember this, but apparently at the workshop I said I wanted more dancing.
I think a lot of people said that.
She was like, I hate you for that, but also you were right.
Or change the name or change the title.
Something like, I don't know. But like, yeah, I was just like, I just want more dancing. I want everything to be more of a musical.
Yep. Okay. So that was Tales, not Tales. Yeah. Tales of a Blurred Ballerina. I kept saying it wrong when she was here. I kept calling it something else of a Blurred Ballerina. I believe they play this weekend and then it's
this
over.
It's closing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. VortexRep.org. I have on my list here Picasso at the La Pina Gil, but I think that's gone already.
I thought that might have closed.
Running Bear is also gone. Mm-hmm. Sound of Music is still playing over at Zach Newsies out in the park. Mm-hmm. The Full Monty way out in Lake Travis at TexArts. And of course, we have opening this weekend in the Heights. Which is
part of Summerstock.
Summerstock Austin, and
season.
Yeah, and what's the name of the other show that they're playing? Do you remember it?
It's Alice's Wonderland.
Alice's Wonderland,
and then they have an original movie musical in August,
which by the way, our last guest is in
How to Musical Theater. Is what it's called.
Yes. So our last guest, Lucky Cantu, is in that film. She's done a lot of Summerstock Austin stuff, and she wasn't able to do it this year because of this show.
Yep, that'll be out at Pease Park.
Yeah, Peace.
But you can get
hot.
Information on that at impactarts.org.
Nicole knows all about it. Did you want to inform anybody anything more about Sound of Music? We did not get them on the show.
No, we did not. So the Sound of Music runs through Sunday. It's set in a beer garden, so you can have the option of onstage seating versus house seating. Very interesting. It's set around with this tree. Dave used elements from his research originally how they had Maria in a tree, and a lot of the cast plays
Which
instruments too.
Was my
sorority name in college. and a lot of the cast is playing instruments, and you can get more information on that at zacktheater.org.
That is a very good news. So lots of stuff going.
So lots of good stuff going on.
Lots of stuff good going on. And I will say that at Ground Floor Theater this weekend, it's not theater per se, but I find it very theatrical. The Kraken Quartet, which is a quartet of percussionist, is They're doing some amazing stuff.
I had to Google and go down a hole looking at what this all was when I saw it playing, and it got me very intrigued.
It's a show called Reinvented. It is completely self-contained, and it is a light and sound extravaganza.
Extravaganza!
You can get information at groundfloortheater.org and just look at what's playing at Ground Floor Theater. That is
That's
Friday and Saturday
night. Lots
of
good stuff going on. That's little options for everybody.
Yeah. We love that.
I do.
Austin is a theater town. Speaking of that, we should remind everybody about atxtheater.org. That is a spot where you can go to get a lot of information about theater, about shows playing, about auditions, or
the people
just
that make the theater.
Yeah, all that junk.
We like to call that an all that jazz.
And all that jazz. All right. So that's it for the local section. We're going to go and come back and talk to our friends at Vortex. And as we leave this, we are going to listen to, it's from the In the Heights. That's why I played it. 96,000 from In the Heights, because that is going to be played.
Well, Trey gave you a silent thumbs up.
Oh, good.
Here.
I got a thumbs up.
So that was
good choice.
We love In the Heights. Well, here it is. We'll be right back.
96,000. Damn.
$96,000.
Holla.
$96,000.
Welcome back to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Shiro and
Sheps and Shiro. We just had a lovely conversation, and I'm going to officially introduce these folks from Vortex Rep's Summer Youth Theater Program and their show, Mr. Burns. And there's more to it than that, and I didn't write it down. But wait, don't go away. I've got it right here. Mr. Burns, a post-electric play by Anne Washburn. And I'm going to reintroduce. We have Fred Demps. Hi, Fred.
Hello, hello.
We have Haley Perez. Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Sharky Meehan.
Hi.
And Trey Deason.
Hello there.
Hello.
So who wants to tell me first about the Summer Youth Project, just the whole summer youth program there at Vortex. Anybody?
I'll go.
Go.
This is my second year, and unfortunately my last year, because I'm no longer a youth after this.
I am.
And last year we did the first devised work, so we wrote and created the whole show ourselves. It was a lot of fun, a lot of great experiences, and a lot of the similar things are happening in this year's show too. We were able to do a lot of workshops with a lot of amazing people. And there are all sorts of workshops. They're like vocal work, acting work, building set, creating props, like every aspect of the theater we were able to work in order to prepare us for this show. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the Summer Youth Program has been going on for a long time.
I was like
20 years or so. Oh, 30th 20, year. This is the 30th year.
Oh, yeah. Wow, 30.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. That Bonnie Cullum.
We had one hiccup where we had to cancel because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But then,
I'm not familiar. Tell us about it.
Yeah. It's this thing that happened.
There were cancellations.
There's
something happened.
Amazing.
I don't know. Maybe you were aware.
So I was struck by this play. I had never heard of it before, and I looked it up. And unfortunately for me, I am not a Simpsons person.
Me neither.
Oh. So
I honestly wasn't either. It's okay. I had never seen an episode of The Simpsons before joining the show.
What about you, Fred? Are you a Simpsons person?
Not really. For both of the kids in the show, this was the first time they saw a full Simpsons episode.
Amazing.
That's true. We had to show them. Yeah, we had to show an episode of The Simpsons for them.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's Mr.
I don't feel so alone anymore. What about you, Trey? Are you a Simpsons person?
Not really. Oh, okay. I'm not a big television person in general.
Yeah,
I saw some Simpsons. But yeah, it's...
I mean, Mr. Burns and Withers, and they're just...
I'm aware.
Unfortunately. And unfortunately, Simpsons plays in crossword puzzles all the time.
Mm. Oh, do they really?
Oh, yeah. There's
They're
all sorts.
They're never in mine.
Well, you don't need the New York Times then.
No, I guess I don't. Well,
it's like,
I'm just
la,
not
la,
as smart
la.
As you.
It's like four letters, blank Simpson.
Yeah,
it's
Bart.
Like, was it Bart or is it Lisa? I'm not sure.
I wouldn't know.
It's one of those.
And then I know about Apu from listening to, what's the comedian's name?
Azaria? Hank?
No.
It's not him that does it.
Well, Hank Azaria did the voice for it. But it was, I'm blanking on the name.
He's got a podcast about.
We just talked about this last night, actually.
Yeah, we did.
So somebody tell me about, I don't care who, tell us about this show. I mean, we talk about it, that it's got something to do with The Simpsons, but what is it?
That's a very large question.
It's huge.
This is a three-act show. It's not our normal two acts that we do. And the first act is set right after a nuclear explosion has taken out 99% of the population. Everyone's kind of lost, kind of thing. And then second act is 7 years after the disaster. And third act is 75 years after disaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns.
And each act is almost like its own separate little play in many ways. That's just a continuation. But yeah, it's written by Anne Washburn, music by Michael Friedman. And it's kind of a story about how culture goes down through the years. And speaking of Billy Shakes, it's kind of going through this idea of like, what if in the future, like the Simpsons are kind of like the Shakespeare that is being retold.
It's interesting and scary and fascinating all at the same time.
It's almost like a descent into madness, because the further you go, the more absurd it gets. In the third act, it's a completely sung, or it's a musical. The entire third act is
a musical.
In the first two acts, you hear one song.
Oh, interesting. That's
it. And then the third act.
I like that progression. Yeah. Especially, you know, if you're talking in these different terms of these, like, different pieces and different timelines.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was first done at Playwrights Horizons a few years back, and there's some interesting videos that show pieces of it. And in their production, I guess in the third act, they had masks. They had basically Simpson masks.
Yeah.
Are y'all doing any masking in this?
We don't know.
We're still kind of playing with that, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, I was about to.
Yeah, Fred, bring it on.
Fred's got some info to share.
Yes, we are so far planning to do math. We're still working on creating those, which a bunch of the SYT kids are very much enjoying.
Summer Youth Theater. While you're there, Fred, don't go away from the microphone, and you can pull it up by just lifting up here. Fred is a little taller than Haley. So you are the assistant stage manager in this piece, is that correct?
Yes.
And you are a student at ACC in the Technical Theater Program.
Yes, I am.
Which is relatively new. Tell us about how you like that program.
I love it. It's actually like really, it's really cool because I go to the ACC Highland, which I'm pretty sure is the only one that does theater.
Mm-hmm. But well, that's where the theater is.
So beautiful, to be honest with you. I remember when it used to be the mall.
Lie to me, Fred.
I remember when it used to be the Highland Mall, and it is just astonishing.
There's pretty amazing what they did.
So many little cozy places, and the theater program and the people that work there are just lovely people, and I love them.
Well, good. And I know when I think I was speaking to Marcus McWhorter, who runs the theater department there, and he mentioned the technical theater program. As someone that made their living as a stage manager for so many years, we didn't have that kind of education for us growing up. We just learned by doing. So I love that y'all are doing all that stuff. Are you also a performer?
Kind of.
It's okay. That was not meant as a slam. And Haley, what about you? So you said you're about to not be a youth. What does that mean?
I turn 18 literally 3 days after show closes.
Mazel tov.
And I'm actually moving to New York this fall. I'm going to college in Long Island.
What school?
Long Island University.
Awesome. Are you going to study theater out there?
I am. I have a concentration in musical theater.
Well, great. Make sure. I don't know how far out on the island it is, but get a Long Island Railroad pass and keep coming to the city.
Definitely.
And Sharky,
yeah,
where are you in the school zone these days?
Eighth grade.
Somewhere you make that sound like that that you're not proud of that fact. That's pretty cool.
Sure.
We were talking about
middle school in those years.
Middle school in those years, and how important they are, and how. Those years can be forgotten, and we're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Great. And do you do theater in school?
Yeah, for the most part. Our theater programs like lost a teacher last year and had a choir teacher for the replaced teacher, so it's
been a little different.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And Trey, you're part of the adult cast.
Yes, right.
How many other non-youth people are in this show?
How many performers? It's four? Yeah.
Four. Okay, Fred, so it's four. Fred has like, all
Fred
the answers.
Fred has all the answers,
he has the
by
call
the way.
Sheet, like, in his mind.
And Fred is the furthest away from the microphone. He's got all the answers.
It's myself, it's Gabe, Mindy, and
Mindy Raskinen.
And
Dimitri.
Dimitri, yeah. Jeez. Okay.
Well, well, great. And we know this is directed by the amazing Jen Jennings.
Yes.
How many youth cast members are there?
There are, yeah, seven of us.
Yeah, what Fred said.
What Fred said. Fred,
I don't know how to count.
Can you name them? Let's see. We're going to test Fred at this point.
To any of the SYT kids that are listening, I'm so sorry.
Watch him forget me.
We got Haley, mm-hmm. Eli,
uh-huh.
Juno,
yeah.
That's Alex,
yeah.
Huh? Rowan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did not.
Keely.
No,
Kylie. And Sharky.
Awesome.
You forgot Juno.
You thought Alex. No,
I said
Alex.
Juno.
Oh, I knew that.
That's
Alex.
Amazing.
And I said Alex.
Yeah. You just say Alex? Okay.
He got everyone. We're good.
Okay. Please don't fight everybody.
Christina.
But they're saying it all with smiles. That's yeah. What's the best.
So when does this show open? When do you start?
July 29th.
July
29th. A week
from Friday.
We can't get Fred away from the microphone.
Fred's loving it.
July 29th, and how long do you play?
We play for 2 weekends.
Okay. And how Fred makes me think that you're still like in the creative process of getting this going.
Yeah.
Can you regale us with any anecdotes of a rehearsal period so far? How's it going? What's been going on?
Oh yeah. What was that like seeing The Simpsons for the first time?
It was a little odd because we had a whole like read through of the entire script, including third act. We just mm-hmm. spoke it.
It's called a table read.
Yes. Yeah. We did a table read.
I'll keep you informed.
We did a table read and we, like, as it progressed, we realized how much The Simpsons actually play into it. And so all of us were, like, a little thrown off. And Jen asked us afterwards if any of us had even seen it. And almost all of us were like, no, or yes, I watch it all the time. There was no in between.
Interesting.
I was in between. Like, I watched some episodes, but it wasn't like, I didn't, like, watch it every day.
Yeah.
But, like,
wasn't a deep dive. It was occasionally on or something
happened. There was one of the youth cast members that's like, oh, yeah, we're a Simpsons family. But the rest of us were like, maybe not.
I remember one point during the table read where I did look at Jen and we had a moment of recognition that no one else had.
Yeah.
Just like, I forget what it was now, but it was just like, we're just like, wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's a moment.
In our last couple of minutes here, I know that Tyler Mabry is doing the musical direction.
Yes.
Is there a band? Is it done to live music?
That's interesting that you ask because we have two musicians trying to do this entire thing.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, but live musicians.
Yes.
Have you rehearsed with them yet?
Yes.
Yeah,
how is that for
yesterday.
You?
Yeah, just yesterday.
Just yesterday.
Well,
morning.
Tyler, we've been rehearsing for a while, but like we just got our second guy yesterday.
Because our second musician couldn't be there for a while, but we were able to work with him yesterday. And
how does it feel to work with live musicians?
Yeah, it's like when you add that component.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's good. I love it because I feel like it's a lot more in sync, not only with each other, like as singers, but also with the band. We can all work together to make this stay afloat.
And it's also kind of interesting because the point of the whole post-electric is that it's all acoustic instruments.
Yes.
So instead of it being
that's interesting.
Instead of it being a keyboard, electric keyboard,
yeah.
Tyler's having to play off of an actual piano and
like a xylophone
and an acoustic guitar instead of the electric guitar. In fact, he accidentally brought his electric guitar. I don't know if I should tell that story. I think it would embarrass him. But like he was embarrassed. Like, oh, I brought the electric guitar. Well, we're just not doing the guitar today because I don't want to get
messed it up.
So we'll just practice next time and it'll be okay.
Yes, an electric guitar is a very different sound when it's not plugged in.
Yes.
Like, it's still a guitar, but it's not the same.
No, not at all.
So I know you open on the 29th. How long do you play?
August 6th.
August 6th. I did not have that written down, but now I do. Well, great.
Weeks.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to see the show.
Yeah, it sounds fun and exciting.
And break some legs out there.
We'll do our best.
Okay.
I mean, so that was keep my legs on, but
awesome. That was Fred Dempse, Trey Deason, Sharky Meehan, and Haley Perez of Vortex Reps Summer Youth Theater, Mr. Burns, a post-eclectic play by Anne Washburn. It is playing the 29th of July through August 6th. And I thought this was going to be an easy piece of music to find. I would have thought that if I put in The Simpsons an original cast, as this is how I find my music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
That there would have been some song in the canon that had something about The Simpsons, but they didn't.
That seems like that would tend you down a rabbit hole that you couldn't find anything.
So I went with The Burn. So we'll be right back.
I want to watch the world burn. I got the gasoline. I want to watch the world burn and everyone gain.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole and Lisa.
Hello. I mean, that was a good choice. Who doesn't love the Mean Girls? And it is coming up.
Everybody loves the Mean Girls.
I have to tell you, it's one of those movies that translates well to stage. I look forward to hearing what you have to say about it.
I know. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. So we are plumb out of time. I know that coming up after us, you have John Hoffner here trying to steal the microphone away from me.
That John Hoffner.
I know. For Austin Common Radio. John, come over here and tell us what's
going
to be listening
today?
To on Austin Common Radio.
Well, today you'll be excited to know we're doing the first of our series on women in solar power. So it's pretty exciting. We have some local guests. We're going to do some more from people from Texas and then maybe some international guests over the next few weeks.
Ah.
Solar power and women.
That's pretty cool.
That was the name of my third book.
I was about to say, was that another sorority name in college?
No, it was the name of my third book.
You're such a prolific author.
I am. Well, that was a fun show. We did break a record. I do feel guilty, and I will publicly apologize to Bonnie Cullum because I emailed her and said she had too many people coming today, and I made her make one stay home. And we broke the rules earlier that we had extra people show up for the earlier amount of guests. So, Bonnie, your person could have come, as it turns out.
Well, look at you apologizing.
I know.
Right here live
on the air. I'm not embarrassed, not to say when I'm incorrect.
Neither am I. That's a good thing about us, Lisa.
So I do have to just, in like, we have 30 seconds, so we can't really get into this, but I've been meaning to talk to you for months.
About?
Almost Famous.
The musical. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, interesting. I don't either, but I thought that was one that
totally down with Back to the Future, the musical, and The Karate Kid, the musical.
Yeah, but we're not talking
at first.
About those two.
Almost Famous, I haven't gotten enough yet to make my decision on the yes or the no.
All right.
I do love that film.
Many people did. I didn't. Yeah. I mean, I did not love it, but I didn't love it. I should also say that they're doing a musical about the Griswolds and Family Vacation.
Well, it was going to be in Houston.
It was going to be in Houston. They
And then they went to another 80s musical, The Secret of My Success, that old Michael J. Fox movie, which is another. I do love that movie.
Okay, we got to go. Thanks for coming to the show. As I mentioned, we have John Hoffner coming up next with Austin Common Radio Hour. And Nicole, welcome back.
Thank you.
And everybody else, we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is from The Notebook, the upcoming musical of The Notebook.
The movie's
But this is a beautiful little song. Here it is.
Okay.
I've waited every day to feel the way I feel. Knots in my stomach, the kind that never heal. Butterflies that fly in me and never seem to go away. Sick to my stomach when I think about his face, but in a good way, in a way I can't replace.